This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. American music is one of our country's most compelling stories. North Carolina Symphony sets out to share that story this weekend with a pair of concerts in Raleigh. Resident conductor William Henry Curry will lead the symphony and several guest musicians in a program called Blues in the Night. The blues infuse the ragtime swing and gospel that thread through a program that traces the evolution of the American sound. Among those accompanying the symphony on Blues in the Night is renowned harmonica player Phil Wiggins, who joins us now. What a pleasure to have you on the show. So good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you. And also with us, Scott Freck. He is the Vice President for Artistic Operations, General Manager at the North Carolina Symphony. Scott, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Hey, Frank. Good to see you.
Tell us about how this got started. Resident conductor William Henry Curry and the symphony put this together. What was the impetus behind it?
Well, it's really the brainchild of our resident conductor William Henry Curry, as you mentioned. It started with a conversation we had a few years ago. I think we all want to know, as Americans, where we came from. And that's certainly true of music, too. It's sort of easy to imagine that blues and jazz has been with us forever. And, of course, that's not true. It has to come from somewhere. And so we just decided to take the audience on a sort of a journey through the history of blues and jazz just sort of explore the space and see how things evolve from one thing to the next.
It's always so hard to find these defining moments. But is there a time when we can say, and a moment in the history of music, when we can say this is when American music emerged?
It is hard to define that specifically. I mean, I think one of the big moments that you really can put a pin on, if you will, is Scott Joplin and his Maple Leaf Rag. 1899 is when it's published, and just really explodes into a nationwide craze. So we're happy to – we don't begin our concert with Joplin. We sort of set the table with music by American composer Morton Gould called Jubilee from Spirituals for Orchestra. We start with that as sort of a nod to the African-American spirituals, which are sort of the common ancestor to both the blues and jazz. And from there, we go directly to Scott Joplin. And we're not playing the Maple Leaf Rag, but that was really the piece that got the ragtime craze started in 1899.
Phil Wiggins, we're sort of talking about genealogies and what led to what, but through it all, whether we're talking about ragtime or blues or gospel, blues is really at the center of all of this music, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The particular style of blues that was created here in North Carolina and Virginia, the Piedmont style blues, I'm pretty certain had a lot to do with people transferring what they heard from ragtime piano to the guitar. And so it's a guitar style that sounds a lot like piano, where you have an alternating bass line and a melody line going at the same time.
Really, and it's about that transference too, Scott, isn't it? It's about taking something that you heard and making it into your own, and these things evolve, and that's why we're having such a hard time and probably don't even have to bother putting a line in. Defining when it started, when it ended, what it's called.
Yeah, it's the same as the American story. We are a country sort of cross-pollinated by the cultures of others. And so it's hard to really find where one line stops and the next one begins, but that's really the fun of it.
And, of course, when you talk about these lines and definitions, and Scott Joplin, who is well known for his rags and ragtime music, he also wrote in a very important opera called Treemonisha, and we will hear some of that during the program. That is from the overture to the opera Treemonisha, composed by Scott Joplin. Scott Freck, what's the significance of this piece?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story because Joplin wrote it in 1910, 1911, but it was never performed in his lifetime. He only had a partial performance in 1915 using a piano version, and then it sort of disappeared for a long time, rediscovered in 1972. Interesting backstory here is the person who was asked to orchestrate it is an African-American composer named T.J. Anderson, who's been living in Chapel Hill for the last 20 years or so. So he'll actually be at our concerts tonight and tomorrow night. And it's just a really astonishing amalgam between opera and ragtime. This is the only thing like it.
How amalgamated were those sounds back then? You know, we think of those two, so popular music. Scott Joplin, of course, one of the most popular musicians of his time. Opera, we now think as something more elite. I mean, is this like Lady Gaga writing an opera, or was it not that way in 1910?
No, it might be. We know that Scott Joplin was a big classical music fan, and in fact, opera at the time was just a really dominant art form itself. If you think about Puccini and what was going on at the turn of the century. Scott Joplin knew that music too, and he wanted to be able to tell a story longer than he could in a 3-minute song. So that's what he put together. It's a really great backstory to this.
Well, the program moves on to George Gershwin, Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer, and then on to Duke Ellington. One of Ellington's pieces is Peanut Brittle Brigade. It's Ellington's take on Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. Let's listen to a bit of that. Well, Scott, I heard a little Tchaikovsky in the beginning, and that was about the end of it. Does it go on from there? Does it come back? Do we do theme and variation?
It's certainly a modern take on Tchaikovsky's. That's the military march from the first act of The Nutcracker. And Ellington, again, was a huge classical music fan. In fact, wrote a number of works, specifically for orchestra. This was a piece that he did in 1960, a suite based on various movements from The Nutcracker. It's really fun and very compelling.
After the intermission, we get to the blues. And that's when you come in, Phil Wiggins. You and guitarist Corey Harris are going to be playing with the symphony. W.C. Handy tune?
Well, we start the second half with this the St. Louis Blues march. And then after that, Phil and Corey get going.
Right.
And what's the connection? Of course, W.C. Handy is deeply associated with, I mean, his name and the blues are synonymous.
Yes. From what I recall, the story is that W.C. Handy was the first to have sheet music for blues and to popularize it in that way. What's the story? He said he saw a bunch of ragtag vagabonds come into a train station and play, and he didn't really get the music, and then he saw people throwing money, and then he got it. So,
would you play something for us right now, Phil Wiggins?
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. I think I will play a little bit of a tune that I made up. That's kind of a ragtime sounding piece that John and I used to play together. And I'll just play a little bit on solo. It's called Anacostia Two Step. And
Mr. Phil Wiggins playing live on the State of Things. You can hear him this weekend playing with the North Carolina Symphony. Blues in the Night is the name of the program. He will be playing with guitarist Corey Harris. Of course, you mentioned that was fantastic, by the way. Anacostia Two-Step.
Wow. Thank you.
You talked about W.C. Handy. He was somebody who grew up listening to a different kind of music. We associate him with the blues. Scott Joplin, certainly classically trained, somebody who understood music deeply. What kind of music did you grow up listening to?
Oh, everything that I could get my ear next to. When I was a teenager and into music, there was everything from Motown to, I guess, like even the psychedelic, Jimi Hendrix was a big hero of mine and all that. But really, the music that grabbed me the most was blues. And I think because it's just so directly connected to your emotions. And I don't know, I've always been a person that liked spending time with the the older generation. Like, I was really close with my grandmother, who is from my family roots are Birmingham, Alabama, just outside Titusville, Alabama. And so growing up, we spent a lot of time there, like a lot of summers. And
were there musicians in your family? Did any of them play?
Well, my father played the piano, and my mother and father sang in church and all. And of course, I mean, my first memories of like really hearing the sound of blues music was from my grandmother's church, which
I bet your grandmother wouldn't like you saying that about the blues. That's church music. That's not the blues.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever run into that the blues when it gets secularized, it's the devil's music, but if it's okay when we do it in church?
Well, I've heard that over the years, and I've been, as a child, I've been to some house parties where the same people that were, in church on Sunday were kicking up their heels and having a good time on Saturday. So,
well, and Scott Freck, I mean, that's a little bit about what's going on here, is that whether you call it popular or classical or symphonic, I mean, it's really just a matter of context. It's whether you're sitting in a seat watching a conductor or sitting at a party dancing and having a drink or two.
Yeah, I've always believed, and I think all the orchestra believes, all of our conductors believe, there really is no distinction between music. There's great music. And if it's great, we ought to be playing it.
Well, Thomas Dorsey is somebody who loved gospel music, as we think about that. And Thomas Dorsey is going to be part of Blues in the Night as well. Let's listen to a little gospel created by Thomas Dorsey.
I will stand, guide my feet, take my hand. But I'm tired, I'm weary, and I'm worn.
This is a gospel tune by Thomas Dorsey, My Precious Lord. What's the connection there? Gospel music and blues, all, again, we've talked about this, they are deeply related.
Yeah, well, Thomas Dorsey is considered sort of the father of gospel music, and what he did is he took the rhythms and harmonies of blues and jazz and then combined Christian praise with them to form this style that we now know as gospel. It's interesting about Precious Lord, Take My Hand, the song that we're going to do. We're doing it with a saxophone solo played by Ira Wiggins, a saxophonist from Durham. No relation to Phil, by the way. But Precious Lord, Take My Hand was a huge hit. Mahalia Jackson, it was one of Martin Luther King's favorite songs and covered by everybody from Elvis to Hank Williams. So, again, a very influential song.
Phil Wiggins, you mentioned earlier when you were about to play the Anacostia Two-Step that it was a song you used to play with John, and you're referring to the late John Cephas, who was a guitar player you two played together for a long time. You're now playing with Corey Harris. What's it like? Is it difficult to make a transition after so many years with one player?
Yes, it's difficult. I like to just say that it's interesting. It's very different, and it's great. Of course, I miss playing with John. I mean, we played together for 35 years, and so it's going to be a long process to learn how to play well with someone else. But I love the different choices that I have in accompanying Corey, because I mean he gives me a totally different energy than what John had, and so it's difficult, and like I said, I miss John, but it's also really exciting to move forward, you know, having some different choices and being able to experiment with different ways of playing with them.
And Scott, I suppose that at the personal level is what you can take away from this whole program at a larger level, which is the combination and recombination and reimagining and rethinking and rehearing this music is what American music is all about, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, it's about this sort of cross-pollination between this culture and that culture, and great music lives on. I mean, that's why we do what we do.
And you can hear what they do this weekend. We've been talking about the North Carolina's upcoming performance, Blues in the Night. My guest, Scott Freck, the symphony's vice president for artistic operations, general manager, and harmonica master, Phil Wiggins. Thank you both for being on the program today.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
You can hear Phil along with the North Carolina Symphony tonight and Saturday, 8 o'clock, Maimandi Concert Hall, Progress Energy Center in Raleigh. For more information, ncsymphony.org. Just ahead, Chapel Hill band Birds and Arrows releases their new album tomorrow night. We have a preview when they play live right here on the State of Things. Stay with us.